Hello and welcome to this episode of Let's Be Real. On today's episode, we're going to be discussing that new trailer for Deadpool and Wolverine that dropped yesterday. We're going to be doing our box office predictions for the summer movie season, so all the major blockbusters releasing from around May to about August. And then we're going to be finishing things off and we're going to be doing our Rotten Tomatoes predictions for those same movies as well. I'm James, that's Nayan, and we are coming to you from Australia and New Zealand. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. We appreciate it, and we hope that you guys are enjoying our conversations, our takes and predictions and all that stuff. Remember, if you do want to be a part of the conversation, you can just comment down below, find us on social media, and let us know your thoughts, your takes, or if you want us to do any kind of news, ranks, lists, all that kind of stuff. You guys know that just at this point. Thank you again for tuning in. Nayan, let's get to it, eh?
Yeet.
Too good. All right. Deadpool and Wolverine. This is a movie I had around fifth on my most anticipated. I reluctantly had it there because the MCU has not been promising of late. It has been something that has been going downhill extremely fast, and it's really sad to see. But Deadpool and Wolverine, I had faith in it. It had to be fun, right? Trailer 2 comes out, and boy, I think that's all confirmed for me. Nayan, what did it confirm for you, man? Because I know you didn't have it on your honorable mentions. It was nowhere to be seen. Are you looking forward to this one now?
I am actually looking to see where I had it. And, yep, I definitely did not have it on my top 10. I didn't even... I swear I had it on my... I swear I had it on my honorable mentions, but clearly I didn't. So it might be a big L on my part, but you can sort of understand, you know, like the previous few years of MCU, why would you trust in an MCU product for? I mean, yeah, it's Deadpool and it's R-rated, so it's something new for them, but still, skepticism is skepticism, but now that's all gone. After that first trailer, I was hyped, and this trailer was just, you know, that nail in the coffin. It was, this is what Deadpool should be with Wolverine, you know? Unhinged jokes, you know, lots of swearing, Hugh Jackman being pretty much an angry man. It's awesome in the fact that we get to see him in the classic suit, and not just the classic suit with sleeves, but also the sleeveless sleeves as well. I think the chemistry between Ryan Reynolds. Getting confused. Too many Ryans nowadays in the cinema. Industry between Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman is just going to be off the charts. You know, I think Ryan Reynolds, you know, it's you and I, you're going to play the, you know, the jokey sort of character, and Hugh Jackman would be like me, the angry big little man, so to speak. But yeah, man, I'm so excited for this. It didn't give away too much on plot details, which is nice. All it did show was that Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is from another universe that he somehow destroyed. He was part of the X-Men, and he was like the leader or the main figure of the X-Men as well. So that's pretty much the main plots that we got from the trailer, which is nice.
Yeah.
And I also like that little bit at the end in regards to cocaine and like how Kevin Feige said that's the one thing we cannot have in this film. I thought that was just like a nice little fourth wall meta sort of thing to include.
No, I'm totally with you, ma'am. I have three words to describe how I felt about this trailer and how I feel about the movie. Let's fucking go.
LFG.
Honestly, bro, like, LFG. Yeah, bro, man. When I put it on fifth, I had no idea that it was, like, going to be anything great or anything. I just, you know, we heard all the stuff, and I'm like, okay, for my most anticipated list, it's a lot of it's like, is it going to be good? Am I going to have fun with it? Am I just interested in the idea or the cast and crew? That's how I kind of factor those most anticipated lists. Putting Deadpool and Wolverine there was purely on the prediction that I would have a lot of fun with this. Again, I'm still not expecting this movie to be great or even good for that matter. I don't think it's going to be anything masterful, best MCU or whatever, but I'm 95% sure from these past two trailers and everything we've heard, it's going to be a ton of fun. Like, from start to finish, you're going to be in that you know, massive movie theater watching it, and it's just going to be fun as soon as the tape starts rolling. So yeah, this thing confirms everything that I've thought about this movie from the get-go, that it's just going to be pure fun, pure, you know, a pure popcorn blockbuster experience. So, this trailer confirms that for me. And, yeah, we'll see if it's good or not. But I do like that it, you know, dabbles in the multiverse. Oh, dabbles seems to be really into the multiverse. I mean, Deadpool Multiverse of Madness is probably what it should be called, because Doctor Strange didn't do it justice. Yeah, so this one's going to be doing that. We get that multiverse action. We get, you know, I don't care too much for cameos unless they mean something. But, you know, getting that multiverse, hopefully it can establish, you know, the big MCU threat that's, you know, going to be plaguing this entire saga. And pushing that forward and just having some, you know, really good characters between Deadpool and Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. Really curious to see what they do with Wolverine, because it's clearly not the Wolverine that we have known throughout his presence in the Fox universe. Mm-hmm. So who knows what we're going to get from everything here. It looks like a great ride. Really good fun, man. I'm super excited for it. It's going to be cool.
Everyone should be.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. You guys watching this. What did you guys think about that trailer? Did you guys enjoy this one? Are you guys looking forward to Deadpool and Wolverine, or are you still a little bit skeptical about the MCU based on what we've had so far? Whatever it is, whatever you thought, comment below and we can have a conversation from them. Otherwise, Nayan, box office predictions now. So for this little segment, we're just going to be doing some very brief box office predictions, just basically doing the domestic and worldwide total, and we're just going to be providing a loose figure, maybe a range for these kind of movies. Nothing, I guess significant yet, because there's some of them so far away, we still have to wait on so many different details to come up before we can give proper predictions. But we'll be giving predictions to these movies in a little bit more detail as we get closer to them. So we're going to be doing the summer movie season about May to August. So it's when those big movies start rolling in. Now we'll just get straight into these ones. All right, so kicking off the summer movie season is The Fall Guy, and that is first week in May. Domestically and worldwide, where do you think this movie is going to end up?
I have no idea. Zero at all. I am just going to take a stab in the dark. I'm going to say between 80 to 100 domestically.
Domestically.
Mm-hmm. And let's say 500 worldwide. I know the action might carry it a little bit, but it's sort of been marketed as like an action rom-com. I know that rom-coms sort of do turn some people away, but I don't know. I have no idea. It's one of these rare things that we get an action comedy, if ever. So it's uncharted territory for me.
Well, so you think that it can get 100 domestically and then 400 internationally? To get 500 million?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, hot takes already. It's starting early, but I'm with you in the fact that this movie is incredibly hard to predict, because, you know, what's been the last thing since, I think, what's been the last nearly 16 years now that have opened the summer movie season the first week of May? It's been a Marvel movie. I'm pretty sure. It might have skipped 1 year in COVID years, of course, but Marvel's always kicked it off. You know, you've had massive opening weekends because of that. Now, The Fall Guy takes that spot, which is a really odd replacement, because it's just The Fall Guy. And it's based on nothing, but it does have really marketable stars in Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. I would go for 150 domestically at this point in time. And then I would say about 400 worldwide. I think you add on about two. I don't think this is going to be too big of a movie internationally, but 150 domestically domestically is probably where I see it going, opening to around 50, and then, you know, not falling off dramatically throughout those coming weeks, just because there's a uniqueness to it, and, you know, I think the marketability of those two major stars is really, really quite powerful, especially Ryan Gosling, coming off Barbie and that Oscar campaign that he had. All right, another one that might not be too difficult, but Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Where do you see that going in terms of box office?
Pretty high. I can't remember what the previous three have done. But
War for the Planet of the Apes got 490 million worldwide.
Oh.
So then they're not big movies.
No, they're not. And we already know that the quality of this isn't going to be as good as Matt Reeves' ones because Wes Ball's directing.
If it is any, I guess, help to you, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes got 710 million worldwide and then Rise got 480. So I don't know why War of the Planet of the Apes fell dramatically, but it could go either way.
Yeah.
Based on these, yeah.
I'm probably go with 150 domestic, between 150 to 200. 200 on like the very stretch. And I'll probably go with 450 to 500. Just somewhere in that 400 range, I think, will finish up. Unless it's like an absolute masterpiece that everyone has to go see. But to be fair, the other three movies had like pretty big stars attached to it and they could draw towards it. This one just has Freya Allen, who's only in The Witch, and no one but nerds watch that. So, and don't come at me in the comments. I'm one of those nerds that watched it. So,
I mean, man, I completely agree with you. At least domestically, 150, I see it heading around there. 200 at a stretch as well, yeah. And then worldwide, I think, I think you're looking around something 450 to 500, I would say, as well. Yeah, it's not something that's going to be massive or as big as it should. You know, we looked at, you know, just before the historical data, the other Apes movies. It's not a big franchise. And internationally, it's not, you know, massive. So who knows? I think it does have the potential to get to that 700 million mark if it is great. But, the others were great. Wolf of the Planet of the Apes was great. And that did massively lower than Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. For some reason, I still don't know what that is. all right, a movie we are both highly anticipating. If.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And where do you see If getting in terms of the box office?
I really hope it's $0, but that's got very unrealistic. Domestically. See, this is a hard one also because it's like a kid's movie, not based on a property. So it could go really one or two ways, either really, really good or really, really bad.
I'll provide some context for you. It releases on the same weekend as the Garfield movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's some competition there. Oh, wait. Yes, it does. Or is it Furiosa? It's one of the two.
Either way, it's heavy competition. I'll go 80 million domestically, and I'll probably go at a stretch, 300 worldwide.
It's a big, big stretch, bro. Big stretch. I'm sorry. It doesn't release with any of those movies. It's the weekend before the Garfield movie and Furiosa. I would say you're right. And at least my prediction is the same as yours for domestically. 80 million is the ceiling. That's the highest I think it can do. I think you're probably looking around something around 60 million. I don't think this is going to resonate with anybody. I would say 60 domestically. I'll be kind and say 150 worldwide. I'm just not getting a strong sense from that marketing campaign that it's anything significant. I would say John Krasinski's really missed the mark here. And he probably should have done A Quiet Place Day One, which is one that's coming out later in the movie season as well. All right, we'll move on to another one we're highly anticipating. That is the Garfield movie, voiced by iconic voice actor Chris Pratt.
Oh, greatest of all time.
I can't wait for the Rotten Tomatoes predictions for these movies. But anyway, we're talking box office right now. What are your predictions for the Garfield movie?
Well, Garfield has got Chris Pratt attached to it, and it's also a well-known, you know, thing, animation, whatever you call it. So I can see it doing incredibly more successful than If. So I'm going to go between 150 to 200 domestic. And I think it could hit 500 worldwide.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. This is another one that's really hard alongside The Fall Guy in terms of predicting. Because you are right. It's an incredibly popular IP that's been around for decades. Chris Pratt attached to it honestly helps in terms of box office because, you know, the general audience knows who that is. Is it going to be good? That's another thing we're gonna be predicting soon. I would say 130 million to 150. I think it gets there purely based on the IP and the recognition of the brand. The fact that it releases the same weekend as Furiosa, it's good counter-programming. Hey, hon, you know, I'll go to this. You and the kids go to Garfield movie. Some, you know, you could see a lot of those situations playing out. So I actually think it will help it and be in its favor. So, yeah, around 130 domestically. Worldwide, I don't know whether to... Animated movies can do really well overseas. Oh, I'm going to regret it, but I might have to agree with you, man. 500 million, I might have to do. We're going to think about that. That's going to be an interesting one.
The power of Pratt, bro. Look what he did for Super Mario.
Yeah, 1.3 billion. If Garfield movie ever does that, I'll do something stupid on this podcast, all right?
Like what?
I don't know. We'll let the audience comment something. All right, so whatever they suggest in the comments, whatever the most liked comment is, if we get any comments, I'll do that. Within reason, of course. All right, Nayan, Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. This is your most anticipated movie for the year. Mm-hmm. How do you see it doing domestically and worldwide at the box office?
I think it can do quite well. I don't know how well Mad Max did, but I think no one was expecting it to be that good. I know that once...
Do you want the stats for it?
Yeah, sure, if you have it up.
Yeah, it's made 154 domestically and 380 worldwide.
Okay. I think it can do better than that, because mm-hmm. When Mad Max first came out, it got all those rave reviews, and now this, the fact that it's got the Mad Max saga tagline next to it, you know, it's... people are going to recognize it's part of that franchise, and that franchise mm-hmm. has been so iconic within the past 9 years. So I'm going to see around about 160 to 210 domestically.
Mm-hmm.
And then mm-hmm. I'm going to go 550 to 650.
Interesting. Damn, the worldwide's quite high there. This one's tough for me as well, because I do think the Mad Max franchise does turn people off just because it's so, I don't know the right word, just a little bit extra or like weird for people, because the post-apocalyptic world of Mad Max is really weird in terms of how it looks and what people are like and all that kind of stuff. So I think it can turn people off just being from that franchise in general. But I do see it being better than Mad Max Fury Road, because when Mad Max Fury Road was coming out, don't judge me, I was a young man at that time, really young man. I didn't want to see it because it just looked weird to me. And then it got 98% and I was like, oh, okay, maybe it is a good movie. And then now it's like one of my favorite movies of all time. So it can turn people off, perhaps young people, but I still see it doing a little bit better. I would say around 160 million domestically, and I'd say worldwide is about 450, maybe the ceiling at 450. I don't see massive stuff, and I don't see it being a big movie to international markets, at least as much as the domestic market. All right, a big one, Pixar. They are the staple of June. So Inside Out 2 releases. Where do you see that coming in terms of a domestic and worldwide box office?
Big. I think worldwide it's going to...
The numbers for the first one, 356 million domestically, worldwide 858.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about the 800 movie mark. I'm thinking 900 to a billion. Billion is the stretch. It's a stretch.
Ooh, the big B, I love it.
Everyone likes a big B. Domestically, I'm thinking probably between 450 to 5.
mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the billion is a stretch. It can mm-hmm. get there if the word of mouth is really, really good. And if the mm-hmm. film is actually really, really good, because we know how Pixar sequels tend to be a little bit more average than the originals, unless a Toy Story, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can see this getting to a billion if those factors come into play.
Yeah, yeah, you're completely right about the, you know, the Pixar sequels not being as good or received as good. But, you know, one example that we need to bring up here is Finding Dory, man. That made 486 domestically and a billion worldwide. So even if it's not as good as the original, I think it might still do very well, at least from the box office side of things. So domestically, I would say you're right. Bang on the money there. 450. I think it really can get to 450. Again, we have to look closely when it comes to, you know, competition and other movies around it. But I, from memory, I think it's got a pretty open stretch here. I think 450 is completely doable. And then worldwide, yeah, again, I got to agree with you. 900 to a billion here. The billion is the stretch. But it's not out of the realm of possibility at all. It really could get there. I think you are looking around something. If I had to put a firm number on it, I'd say 930 right now. We'll just have to see how things trend. But at least at this point in time, this is our first movie that has the potential to get to a billion. And I'm willing to bet my money that it's going to be a great movie. So, yeah. All right. Oh, what was that? A Quiet Place Day One. This is the first spin-off for the Quiet Place series. So yeah, where do you see this one in terms of the box office?
This is another tough one because A, it's a spin-off and it's not directed by John Krasinski. So it's quite hard to really predict. I would probably say 100 to 120 domestic with probably 250 to 3 worldwide.
Yeah. I think you're right there. I mean, I'm just looking at the first and second one. 188 domestically for the first one, 340 million worldwide. For the second one, 160 million domestically and 300 million worldwide. So I think you're bang on the money there, but this one's a little bit different because
released in COVID, didn't it?
Yes, I think it re-released to the 2021. So that probably, you're right, probably hindered it. I think the thing with The Quiet Place, though, I think it is a franchise that will always trend downhill. Perhaps not in quality, but in terms of people being excited for it. Simply because the gimmick is that these aliens can hear with sound. And it's... that's exciting in the first movie, and it's less exciting in every installment afterwards. But the day one goes against that because it's when they, you know, arrive day one of that invasion, and so it's about the humans learning that they can hear through audible sounds, and that's how they get killed, I guess. So whether people can really buy into that a lot. And it is directed by someone who directed Pig. That was his directorial debut. So it's a competent director. I think it will be good. Lupita Nyong'o, she signs on for great projects. I think this is going to be good. It's a tough one to predict, man. I'm going to go 170 million domestically. And I'll say 330 million worldwide. I'll be a little bit conservative for this. Just playing it safe, I think. I still haven't seen much from it in terms of trailers, marketing, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah.
All right, the monster of the summer movie season. We have Despicable Me 4, which is having an excellent marketing campaign. If you're watching the NBA playoffs, you'll know exactly what I mean.
I haven't, so can you explain?
Do you know Nikola Jokic?
Yep.
Yeah, best basketball player in the world. No arguments with that one. But he dressed up as Gru for game one versus the Lakers. And it's just part of the marketing campaign. because people say that he looks like... I actually sent you something on Instagram about this. So yeah, don't listen to my explanation. You go watch Instagram after this podcast, Nayan. But Despicable Me 4, that's what we're talking about. The box office. How big or small is this going to be?
Bro, it's untapped. This one, it could hit 2 billion, it could hit 3 billion, depending on the minion power, you know, like, oh,
this isn't QQQ, don't answer it like that.
Everything's QQQ. I'm gonna say 1.3 to 1.4 worldwide. It's
holy sh.
It's there. Despicable Me is a juggernaut of a franchise. I mean, Minions is a bit hit or miss, but we know that Despicable Me is a better quality product out of the two. And I'll probably go around about, I don't know, I'll say 550 to 600 domestic.
Oh my gosh. All right. And your worldwide is 1.3 to 1.4 billion?
Yeah.
My goodness, man. But you are right, because if you look at the Despicable Me franchise, the first one did around 540 million worldwide. The next one, Despicable Me 2, did 970 million worldwide. And then the third one made a billion. And it's funny because each movie is... Yeah, but the quality of the movie is down, down, down.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still making more money despite that. And then you go to the Minions movies, man. The first one made 1.15 billion. The fact that that's the highest grossing thing of the Despicable Me franchise is criminal. And then the second one made 940 million. And it's hard to know, but I think 900 million worldwide is the floor for this movie. And your prediction is the ceiling. My prediction, I'm going to hit that 1 billion mark. I think that's the bullseye for this one. We'll see if it goes over or under, but it's going to be big. In terms of domestically for me, I'm not going to say 600 million or 550. I think that's ridiculous on any planet. I mean, the third one, bro, got 264 million domestic. It got made so much internationally.
I'm swinging for the fences here.
He's really going for it, guys. I would say 350 million domestically is the safe answer for this one. All right, we go on to one that has the potential to be the biggest of the season. Deadpool and Wolverine. We just got trailer 2. We've just discussed it. How's this movie going to do both domestically and worldwide?
Can I say 500 to 600? No.
You can. I really want to see what your range is for this.
The fact that it's R-rated does hinder it quite a lot. Because, I mean, what's the highest grossing R-rated movie? Joker? And that was like 1.1, was it?
Billion?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I could see it potentially beating it in a more popular season. Let's just say Joker is 1 billion. I'll go 1.1, probably 1.2 max. And I'll probably go, well, you criticized me before, so I think I need to go a little bit lower. So I'm going to go 450 to 500 domestic.
Jeez. I'm just looking at it now, man. So the highest grossing movies domestically that are rated is The Passion of the Christ. 2004 movie, 370 million. Not Oppenheimer, or Joker, or Deadpool, or Deadpool 2, or It have beaten it. 370 million is still the record. Which is interesting because it feels impossible for this movie to get anything less than 370 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but this has been the record for 20 years now. I think it's the year that this record is gone. I think Deadpool and Wolverine, I think it is going to get, I'm going to say 430. Around 430 to 450. I think you're fitting around there. I think the R rating hinders it, not greatly though. And the worldwide is interesting. It beats Joker. If Deadpool and Wolverine and all the cameos in the world can't beat the Joker, it doesn't make sense to me. I am going to say that it is, 1.1 to 1.15. I would say that's where we're heading. This movie is the one to break the R-rated records because look at everything involved, you know? So it's hard. And with the only MCU movie of the year, there's actually going to be a craving for an MCU movie, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Or even superhero movie. Like, what was the last thing to come out? Madame Web?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is actually going to be a desire for this. So fuck it, we'll change it. 1.2 billion? 1.2 billion. I get back. We'll see. I'll do my final prediction later on. Please don't crucify for me for this one. All right. We're getting into the August debuts now. So, Alien Romulus. Where do you see that movie going, both domestically and worldwide?
I'll probably go 100 to 150 domestic. Maybe 400 worldwide. I just don't think the Alien franchise has had enough positive steam ahead of it recently for it to warrant a big, big hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'm completely on board with you. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at the box office for this franchise, man. It is not positive. You may have oversold it completely. So the first one, I shouldn't really be using this because it is 1979 at the end of the day. Opening weekend was 3.5 million. So I'm not going to use that one as any kind of thing against your predictions. But Covenant, 74 million domestically. And then worldwide, it made 240. So it's hard. It's hard to say, but I'm probably going to. I'm going to go about 90 to 100 million for domestically. But I have a lot of faith in this because it does look good, and I think it is going to be a genuinely great horror movie. I think you're looking at around. I think it can push to 300 million worldwide. With the right marketing and with a good rollout. So that's what I would go. All right. And the final movie of the summer movie season, we're ending the summer movie season with a bang, and that is Kraven the Hunter, starring Aaron Taylor-Joy. As you know, we've all seen the trailer, unfortunately. But, Naim, where do you see this movie going domestically or worldwide?
Not good. A, it's Sony, and B, it doesn't look good. And A, B, C, D.
But it's before R-rated. You give me your before you give me your predictions on this, Venom didn't look good, and Venom is R-rated. And then what did the first one do?
Yeah, but
it did 850 million worldwide and 213 million domestically.
Yeah, but Venom's very, very popular character.
Kraven the Hunter,
but not as
is popular from Spider-Man to the game.
I guess, yeah, it's gotten some recent hype in it.
Just a little bit, yeah.
I mean, if you look at Madame Web and Morbius, they both did trash, so.
To be fair, I've heard none of them prior to them being announced as projects, so.
Yeah. I would, yeah. I'm going to go 70 domestic.
No faith.
And probably 160 to 220 worldwide.
It's interesting. Interesting. Yeah, Aaron Taylor-Johnson isn't as marketable as someone like Tom Hardy. And you are completely right that Venom is not nearly... Wait, Kraven the Hunter is not nearly as popular as Venom. So immediately it's a tough sell towards audiences. But you know, Madame Web got like 43 million. I don't know. We're not even going to get into Morbius numbers because that's even another level of tragic. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as those movies. I'll be safe with this one as well. I'll just say 100 million domestically and, yeah, about 230 worldwide. I'm not expecting great things from this. But moral of the story, you know, Sony should just hand over the rights to Disney to use all that stuff. Stop trying to make your own little Spider-Man universe. You've tried it twice. Doesn't work. All right. So that is the end of our box office predictions for all the movies coming out this summer. And by this summer, I mean everyone who's watched from the USA because it is me and Naim's winter. But yeah, if you guys agree with it, if you guys have any predictions of your own, drop it down below. We can have a conversation. I love talking box office. So let me know your thoughts, high or lower, on whatever movie. We can have a discussion from there. I think it's going to be quite an interesting box office for this season because, you know, it's not dominated by those kind of heavyweights that you're used to. So yeah, let us know your thoughts down below as well. All right, I'm going to hand over to Naim now because we're going to dive into our Rotten Tomatoes predictions. So, Naim, take it away, my friend.
Just as James said, we've given you the list of the box office, and now it's time to predict the score on where it would rank in Rotten Tomatoes. We're not going to do the Fall Guy because that's already has a score at 89% right now. So that's a bit of a letdown, and I'm sure if that score didn't come out, James and I might have put it a bit lower. A lot. But Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, we know that the previous three films have been rated really, really positively. I think I have the numbers up here. If I saved it, yes, I did. So we got 94 for War, 91 for Dawn, and 82 for Rise. So what are you thinking for Kingdom?
Well, Matt Reeves did Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and War for the Planet of the Apes. I forgot who did Rise. But even still, I don't think Wes Ball can replicate the kind of magic that either of those three films had. What Wes Ball does have on his side is an established universe that was done really well. So he doesn't really have to go to the drawing board for this one. He can just branch off from what from all the greatness that was established beforehand. So I'm not thinking that it's too bad. I'm going to say high 70s and 79%. But I wouldn't be surprised if low 80s as well. I think it's going to be something good. We've seen the trailers. It all looks to be moving in the right direction, but not touching those levels of those other ones. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm similar to you. I'm going to say probably around about the 80 to 81 mark. I think it will fit between, you know, that 78 to 82 range. But I'll go 81. I'll back the 80s for this one. All right. The biggest one of the year. If. Bro, what is your RT prediction for this?
I don't know, man. It's a tough one to predict. For one, I had seen some really negative stuff about F, and I think it came out of CinemaCon. But also, John Krasinski, he's directed a very small movie, and then he directed A Quiet Place. And A Quiet Place was, his first big movie for the theater. It's tough to know, because both Quiet Places were great. He's demonstrated himself as a good director, but it's hard to overlook the trailers and the marketing for it, because this movie looks atrocious. It looks like a competitor for worst movie of the year for me. And that's me being kind to it, by the way. Because I remember watching this trailer by myself, very sadly, and then I had to show it in front of Nan and Kai, and I had to endure that stuff again. So I just know how bad it is and know how hard the trailers to sit through. I am going to... Honestly, I don't care if it's John Krasinski, man. I'm predicting this movie to be 32%. I'm not expecting good things from this. I don't know how you beat that trailer. I mean, the Fall Guy trailer wasn't good, or it didn't look like a good movie, but I could still have bought the idea of someone saying, hey, actually, it is a good movie, but if... I can't see any reality where it's good. What about you?
Yeah, and the comedy in it is also pretty shit as well. I'm going to go a 28% for this. It's just a big, hot pile of shit. And this is what we're going to get. Thank you, John Krasinski. The next big one, the Garfield movie. Now, the very first Garfield movie that released, just for a little FYI, was 14%. 1-4.
Was that the Garfield 2?
No, the Garfield movie. I don't know what Garfield 2 is. I haven't clicked on it yet, but Garfield the movie is 14%, and that released...
What is Garfield the movie?
It's the very first one.
Oh, like ancient. Oh.
Yeah, back
in... The 2004 one?
Yeah, back in 2004. So
I like that one. The Bill Murray ones.
Yeah, the Bill Murray ones. Yeah.
How was that? 14%.
Yeah, 1-4.
Bro, I remember that movie as like, I mean, sure, it was like a childhood kind of movie for me, but I thought they were good.
Hey, we were children. Like, you were blinded by a cat.
I mean, didn't you like those movies as well?
I thought it was all right.
Oh my God, dude. The second one is 12%. They were fun. They were good movies. All right, well, I very much disagree with those. But I can't use that as a benchmark because then the Garfield movie with Chris Pratt, I have to predict it at 1, 2, or 3% if we're going to compare it to those movies. But I would say this Mr. Movie's not looking good as well. I think, but again, critics are more favorable to animated movies. That's why when you see an animated movie in the 90%ers, it's not something to be like, oh my gosh, a masterpiece is here. Loads of animated movies reach the 90%, and that's because they animated movies are really, they're really easy to love. But even with critics being a little bit more favorable to animated movies, I'm still going to predict it to be 55%, but between the 40 and 60 range.
I'm going to go 48%. I think it's going to be rotten but very successful, as discussed in our box office thing. I can't see this being fresh, not based off the trailers. Like, if it is fresh, then holy shit. All right, the next one is a biggie. Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. Where do you see this coming on RT?
Well, Fury Road, what was that, like 98, 97%? Some really stupidly high number. High. Yeah, I don't see it being at a Mad Max Fury Road, and that is just purely because Rotten Tomatoes has allowed so much more critics into their system, and therefore, you know, we're seeing a much higher rate of reviews, and naturally it's going to be harder to be in that really 95 to 100 area, and same on the other end. It's really hard to be extremely low on RT when you have more of a sample size of critics. So I still think very highly that this movie is going to do, and you're looking around something around, I'm thinking around, I'll go 93 right now, but I think, you know, it's going to be a movie that gets around like 500, 600 reviews. Insanely hard to get to 98% with that rate of reviews. 93% is my prediction.
I'm going to go 92%. I think it'll be in the 90s somewhere. I can't see it not being anywhere that's not in the 90s.
That's harder. Yeah.
If it is like 89 or lower, I'd be like, wow, okay. It's a flop. But yeah, 92% is where I see it hitting. All right. Inside Out 2, where do you see this one?
Oof. Inside Out 2. That one is hard because, you know, the first one was done really, really well. You're bringing back the same writing team and obviously some of the same voice acting, but that writer is crucial for me because this movie, I believe, was nominated for Best Original Screenplay, and the fact that you're bringing in the same writer to carry on the story with the same characters, I think, is a really good thing. The first one was 98%. Animated movies can do really well on Rotten Tomatoes. I would say 96%, I think, is a high chance that it's 96%. I think that's a really easy one for me. Yeah.
I'm going to go 93%. It's one of those ones that it's in the 90s. Anything lower is a disappointment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just don't think it's going to be that high. Mm-hmm. I mean, taking into consideration the Pixar sequel curse as well.
Yeah.
I'd see it at 93%.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A Quiet Place Day One. Where do you see this falling in?
Where did the Quiet Place ones end up on Rotten Tomatoes?
Good question. Quiet Place One.
Well, I'll start off. I mean, A Quiet Place Day One is directed by Michael Sanorsky. And he directed Pig, that was his directorial debut. That got to 97%. And that's with a really really good amount of reviews as well. So that's a huge positive sign. He's building off a successful franchise that has been received positively both by critics and audiences. I think that's going to go a long way. Do you have the numbers for the other Quiet Place movies?
Yep. One was 96, yep. Two was 91.
92 and 91. do I go that high? It doesn't feel like a 90% kind of movie. I'm going to be a little bit conservative. I'm going to play a little bit safe. And I think you're looking around 87% for this one. I think Michael Sanorski, he's going to do some really great stuff with this. Again, it's a really well-received franchise. But it's just hard to see something being in that 90%. So, yeah, 87%. I'm going to go with that. Yep.
I'm gonna go with the 85. I think that it's not gonna capture the greatness of the first two films. But it's gonna be a good film in itself. But I think critics will just try compare the shit out of it and stuff like that. So eventually, inevitably, it will come down. So 85 is where it sits for me. All right, the biggie, the other biggie. We got Despicable Me 4. So I'll give you the stats for the past three films. We've got 80% for the first, 75 for 2, and 58 for 3. And Minions, the first one was 56, and the second one was 70%.
Well, we know these scores don't affect the box office. Yeah, man, I think this is an easy one. I'm just going to go straight in and go 60%. Hey, I may not be right on the money in terms of the exact number there, but 60% seems to be the average for this franchise. And again, I've said it just before in the segment, critics are more favorable towards animated movies. The fact that Minions 2 is fresh makes no sense to me, but that's real. And 60% is something that's pretty kind to this franchise. I would say 60%. It has the potential to be in the 80s if it is good, but I can easily see this movie being around 50% as well. So 60%, I'd say, is probably the safe area for it. Yeah,
I'm gonna go 62%. I think it's gonna improve on. Yes.
It's changing.
Yes, I'll stick to my guns. I mean, yeah, the third one was rotten, but I think this one might tick it over a little bit more. Also based on your comments of how animated movies are received critically more positive.
Yeah.
So I think that 62 is well within reach for it. Unless you're the Garfield movie, for sure. Deadpool and Wolverine. So the first one was 85 and the second one was 84. Where do you see Deadpool and the Wolverine coming in?
Oh, this one's hard, eh? Just because, I mean, like, you said two great numbers there before, but the MCU has really been going down. It's been picking up a lot more rotten stuff with it, and it had that amazing streak of nothing rotten about it until these past couple of years. But I think critics have really caught on to MCU, getting a little bit fatigued and not being so kind to mediocrity, because prior to that kind of streak ending of no rotten MCU properties, there's a lot of average, and funnily enough, I'm rewatching the MCU right now, but there's a lot of average stuff in there that could have been below 60%. Thor the Dark World being an easy candidate for that. Iron Man 2, another one. But critics were kind to those, but I don't think they get that anymore. So in terms of MCU movies, I think there's a little bit more of a bar that has to be met. And I would say I'm going to say 78% for this. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be fun. I think that's going to win most critics over at the end of the day. But there's still going to be a ton of scrutiny towards an MCU project. And I think, yeah, high 70s is something where I see it landing realistically.
I see this coming at 82%. I don't think it's going to be higher than the other two ones, but I think it will still come in at 80%. It is R-rated, so possibly critics will review it a bit more differently because it's an R-rated MCU film. And the fact that, you know, you've got Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman as well, I think that might influence their sort of perspective on the film as well. So, yeah, I'm thinking 82% is where Deadpool and Wolverine will come into. All right. Alien Romulus. Or do you want the stats for this? For these ones?
Yeah, hit me up.
All right. So the first one was 93. The second one is GOATed at 98. Alien 3 was 48. Alien 4 Resurrection was 54%. I'll skip the Alien and Predator ones because no one cares about that. Prometheus was 73% and Covenant was 65%. So it's quite in that mid-range recently, but previously before that it was quite rotten apart from those first two.
Yeah. This one's hard. Because I've really come around to this movie, and I think it is going to be not the return, not the comeback, in terms of its glory days, the franchise, particularly Aliens. 98%, man, my goodness, that's extremely high. But one thing I will allude to for this one is that, you know, the Predator franchise, that the 2018 Predator, that got 34%. And then they debuted Prey on Hulu. That's 94%. Mm-hmm. So I'm not against this movie or against those kind of franchises that can come back to being relevant, at least critically. So I think there is a turning point, and I do think Alien Romulus is that turning point for that franchise. I'm not going to go 94%. I think that's a little bit too dreamy for the situation. But I'm going to go 82. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm completely wrong. But again, it's something where I think it is hitting, and I think it's got the right casting crew to make this the turning point of the Alien franchise.
Nice. I'm going to go 74% for this one. I think it'll reach the heights of Prometheus. But that's about it. I can't see it hitting the 80s or the 90s unless it's like absolutely fantastic. Although the premise is really, really good and intriguing as well. I'll go 75%.
Ooh,
I'll bump it up an extra 1%.
Yeah.
All right, and the most anticipated, highly anticipated, got delayed by a whole year, Kraven the Hunter. Where do you see this Rotten Tomato one?
Should I go positive?
You do whatever you want, mate. If you do, then I'm sure you get scrutinized in the comments.
Well, I mean, you just look at the track record for everything else that have come from the Sony Spider-Web, Spider-Man universe that they're doing. Like Morbius, 15%. Madam Web, 12%. I mean, the Venoms, they're all rotten as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you are really dumb if you think this is going to be positive, because there is no indication at all that it will be positive in any sense of the word. You have to do something that's more in the rotten territory. I mean, first Venom is 30%. Man, I do not know. I am going to be... I don't think it's Madam Web or Morbius level of bad. But I think it's going to be bad. And I think I want to say 25 to 30. I'm going to stick to the trend and say about 26, be on the lower end of that range there. There's just no hope. Like, there's nothing to like justify saying, oh, this one might be the first fresh one. Nah. It was 26 is the right one for this.
I'm going to go 24. Yeah. I did want to say 12, but then I was like, oh, it's R-rated. Maybe critics will review it a little bit more better because it's R-rated. I don't know why. It's just a thing I'm trying to convince myself in my head. But yeah, 24% is where I see it. Where do you guys see Kraven the Hunter? Do you see it being fresh? Are you one of those dummies that James mentioned and think that it's fresh? Let us know down in the comments below. And any one of these other films as well. What are your predictions? Because we would really like to get other people's views and see if we're in range for that or not. And do the same for the box office one that James touched upon as well. Let us know your predictions as well for that. And we'll see who's right. And may the best man win, I guess. That will do us on our little special Let's Be Real podcast. Hope you've all enjoyed it, wherever you've been listening or watching from. do us a big favor, comment, as we said before, and also like and subscribe. You'll be doing us a big favor, and we would really, really appreciate it as well. And be sure to flick us a DM on X and Instagram if you want to share your thoughts on these films, even the Deadpool trailer, or just any other segments that you want us to do, whether it's playing movie trivia in front of us, or playing Last Card, or even chess. Let us know and we can make it happen while discussing movies. And if you're sick of seeing us, and you thankfully you can listen to us, head over to Spotify, wherever you pod from, and search Let's Be Real, and you can give us a listen rather than watch. Thanks everyone for tuning in today. We'll catch you on our next episode. We're Movie Gains. See you later.
Peace.